You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Let me prove it to you. You don't feel like going to work tomorrow, especially if your team wins tonight, because you're going to go out and party. So you won't feel like getting up going to work. But because your flesh is somewhat logical, he will project himself into the future and say, you got electric bills, gas bills, telephone bills, so you best get up and drag yourself to work. So the only time he doesn't have that particular amount of force is when it's time to go to church. That's the only time your flesh can override your logic. Well, I don't feel like going to church. I can just stay home and look at it on live stream. I don't need no fellowship. I just want to hear the word. No, there is something more important than just the word. Now, I know some of you are going to be upset with me right now, but just please hear me out. If the word was enough, then why would he say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Why couldn't we all just stay home and get in the word by ourselves? Because he knows that the word meets your spiritual need. But I also have a need for companionship for my brothers and my sisters, for my mothers in Zion and my fathers of God. I have a need to be connected, or else he would never have placed in the scripture the one anothering concept. Forgive one another. Pray for one another, encourage one another, exhort one another. For, oh my God, if there's no one anothering, we become empty Pharisaical shells of self-righteousness, forever condemning instead of uplifting. But if I practice the one anothering, it gives me compassion because I see you're going through what I went through. So I stand by you and become your paraclete. Oh Lord, help me now. There is a spiritual paraclete. That's the Holy Ghost. But then there is a natural paraclete that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians when he tells us that those of us that have had the paraclete that stood by us, he has enabled us to stand by somebody else. So the apostle said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You cannot enjoy the abundant life in a closet living on your own. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on. So when you're going through, just call on me, brother. If you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on. Now, I know you real Pharisaical people. I just need Jesus. Well, good for you. But I need my brothers. I need my sisters. I need my mothers in Zion. I need my fathers in the gospel. I need a human to meet me on human terms. So let's put two pieces of evidence together to make our case. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he gives us people and says, these people come into your life to push you to new dimensions in God. Therefore, our conclusion by a preponderance of the evidence is that God wants our abundant life to be connected to our relationships. Now, I know there's some of you in here right now. I don't need nobody. I'm making it all right. Yes, for a while. But at some point in your evolutionary process, you're going to need a friend. Why would the Bible say if you want friends, show yourself friendly? Why didn't God say strip yourself from everybody and don't bother with anybody? Because he knows that your abundant life is tied into your connection with your brothers and sisters. And if you are to be successful, you ought to connect with someone of success. My. How do I do this? Well, it requires a mind change. It requires a new thinking process. We got to stop thinking like we're defeated. I don't care what Uncle George and Aunt Susie told you. You are not a loser. The fact that you're here speaks to your winning capability. You got to put some stank on your attitude, Anna Mae. You got to tell yourself, I'm not staying down. I was down before, but I'll not stay down. I'll find a way out. You know what I like about water? Water will always find a way in. If it's the smallest little hole, water will find a way in. I'd like to call all of you, my brothers and sisters, water. So you can say I'm always find a way into the blessing of God because I know it's there. Let me prove it to you. Oh, glory. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. Watch now because, see, we're not living the abundant life. And for so many years, Pentecostals believed that the abundant life was the accumulation of goods. Well, why are you getting a Hyundai? God wants you to have a Maserati. You living beneath your privilege. Jesus came to give you the abundant life. Jesus came to give you a Maserati. Well, then he better give me the money for the payments and a garage to store it in. I ain't gonna buy some Maserati and park it on Diamond Street. I'll be sitting up all night with a shotgun. Lord, you gave me that car. That's why we pray. Lord, let the angels watch over my car. You can't look at the abundant life by the accumulation of things. God is not in things. God is not in things, or else they would never break down. I know somebody asked me a long time ago, I just got a new car. Will you pray for it? No, I don't do cars and I don't do houses. You live in the house. Pray for your own house. Walking around anointing the walls and all this stuff like that to keep the devil away. The devil ain't in your wall. He's in the person you let come in to drink with. You anoint the wall and your house guest brought in Jack Daniels. Where do you think the devil is? If he was in the wall, he came out to get some Jack. And we just get caught up in religious stuff, and we're not living the abundant life. I want you to live the abundant life. You understand the abundant life makes you laugh. Glory to God. The abundant life makes you smile. It makes you realize that as bad as it is, it's not as bad as it could be. Oh, my God, I wish somebody could shout with me. The abundant life says it might not be what I want, but bless God, it's everything I need because I serve a God that cannot lie. I serve a God that does not lie. I serve a God that will not lie. And if he promised me that he's going to be with me and he promised to bring me out of the dilemma, then you and I are supposed to laugh when trials come. We are supposed to rejoice when the situation gets out of control because God is setting us up for a release of his anointing. And some of you got that look on your face. You are about to have something released in your life, so you need to rejoice like it's there. The apostle Isaac Hayes said, if you feel like you want to scream, and screaming is your thing, scream on. I get in my car sometimes and the enemy will overwhelm me. And I just start screaming out. Don't let the devil put you in bondage. Jesus came to give you life. Instead of doing battle with the devil, give praise to God. Doing battle with the devil takes too much of your strength. But to praise God means, God, I want your strength. You got to tell Jesus he got mail. When the devil sends you mess, give it to Jesus. Jesus, you got mail. Here you go. There's a sickness. I'm forwarding it to you. There's poverty. I'm forwarding it to you. There's anxiety. I'm forwarding it to you because you told me to cast my cares on you. He wants you to live a carefree life. Come on, everybody. We ought to have this thing so perfected that visitors come in here and want what we have. We ought to be so praised up that the walls of Jericho come down the moment we walk in. We ought to have so much of a God's authority living in us that the devil gets nervous when he finds out where you're going to be. You don't have to bow down to him. He's got to run from you. Jesus said you don't even have to fight him. The apostle said just resist him. He'll flee from you. That lion rascal has got to run when you say, devil, I'm not going to let you live in my house. My house belongs to God, and there's nothing but joy in this house. My heart is a house for God. And I've learned too many of us are bound by generational curses. Somebody has pronounced that you're not going to be anything, and you believe them. You stop reaching for the sky. You're living in mental obscurity, physical obscurity, and spiritual obscurity. In other words, you're living a life that doesn't matter. You're not making any differences anywhere because you believe that you are inconsequential. But I got news for you today. If God thought you were inconsequential, he would have never put you in this world. But there is a divine purpose for your life. And the enemy doesn't want you to find that purpose. And let me give you a little bit of a hint. When you go through some of the worst situations in your life, that is an indicator of who God wants you to help. All you got to do, if you don't know who you're supposed to be helping, just look at what you've gone through. And when you look at what you've gone through and come out of it, God is saying, now go help somebody who's stuck in it. I find that reality from Luke's Gospel chapter 22. When Jesus sat with his apostles and said, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Peter said, Lord, if everybody else betray you, I'm not going to betray you. He said, really? You're going to betray me. He said, but don't worry about it. I prayed for you. And I pray not that you don't fail, but that your faith don't give way. And when you are converted, strengthen somebody else. When you look at the epistle of Peter, you will see it's written to people who have given up on God, who have betrayed the knowledge of him. What God is saying is, when I bring you out of something, look back and see who you left there and go and get them. Because a Christian does not leave their brothers and sisters behind. Come on, I don't know what my ministry is. Your ministry is your survival. If you were molested as a child, then God wants you to rescue those that are molested, who feel like their life is over because they don't think anybody understands. Do you know the scope of your testimony when you sit with someone who is going through what you went through and you let them know that you have hope? Lord, have mercy. Then you begin to realize why God let you go through it. While you were going through it, you thought God had abandoned you. But he was going to take your misery and turn it into a way of escape for somebody else. My God, don't we realize that the Lord wants to stop us at some point from needing to be ministered to and turn us into ministers to someone else? Some of you say God called you into ministry. But he didn't call you to the pulpit of the church. He called you to the pulpit of the world. You can identify your constituents by who he sends your way. Lord have mercy. If God brought you out, somebody needs to know that he can. I can't testify to a drug addict that God can bring him out beyond the word. But some of you can tell them by experience. I know what it feels like to have the monkey on my back, brother. I know what it feels like to crave it and not get it. But Jesus brought me out. He can bring you out. Listen to Paul in Galatians 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Jesus called you into abundant life. Why go back into bondage? Some of God's people struggle with smoking. And the more affluent Pharisaical people have convinced you that you're going to hell for smoking. And there's not one shred of biblical evidence that says you're going to hell for smoking. It is unhealthy, and it will make your death quicker, give you cancer and destroy your teeth and mess up your breath, get into your clothes, and you don't smell good. But it don't mean you're going to hell no more than eating 45 hot wings will send you to hell either for gluttony. When are we going to realize that one does not go to hell for what they do? They go for what they don't do. They don't come to Jesus. Now, I'm not legitimizing smoking or gluttony, but I am saying we dare not pick and choose which sin will put you in hell. We have lines for adultery, for fornication. We have lines for everything, but we never had a line for liars. And the Bible said all of us are liars, especially if we live 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Every occupant of that house lied. We all lie. We're in the lying season right now, called income tax season. How much did you give the church? $2,750. Well, what you don't know now is that Uncle Sam sends us a letter wanting us to validate what you gave. And believe me, we're not going to ruin our reputation. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You began in the spirit. You began with a life that had hope and promise. And then through a series of events, you became miserable again. You slipped right back into the bondage. Now, the more religious among us would tell you the reason why this is happening is because of some sin in your life. No, it's not. It's because God is making us free. He is washing stuff out of us. Stuff that we hid in our lives. I told you the story that when I was younger, I had to wash the clothes for my family. And every Saturday, I'd get my little cart, and everybody would put their dirty clothes in. In those days, you put them in a pillowcase. We ain't had these fancy nets. You had a pillowcase. And everybody would throw their clothes in the pillowcase, and I had to walk it in the cart around the corner on 22nd Street to the laundromat. Left my house at 7 o'clock in the morning. The day before, Mama would buy Fab. She would buy a quart of Clorox and fabric softener. She would put them in a bag, and I had to pull them on the top so that I could get there before my friends woke up and saw me doing laundry. I would go to the machine. I'd get the change. I'd put it in there. I would separate the clothes, and Mama had taught me that you get the Clorox and you put a certain amount in there. Use the top of the fabric softener box bottle and just put a little bit in there. Because she said, you know, it would not only whiten the clothes, but it would irritate body parts. Because I wanted to get out of there fast, I didn't have time to measure stuff. So I'd use the whole box of Fab, the whole bottle of Clorox in the white clothes. I was smart enough just to put them in the white clothes. And then when it was time to put the fabrics off, and I put everything in there. My brothers and sisters used to complain of how irritated they were getting. And Mama said, boy, how much bleach did you put in? I said, the whole bottle. She said, why'd you do that? I said, I wanted the stuff to be white. She said, but look, it's irritating. Now look at you. You were all red in the bottom and everything. And that's how some of us are with salvation. Rather than wait on God to change people, we're trying to get people changed right away, and we irritate everybody. We make them not want to come to church. But I serve a progressive God that'll put up with my foolishness until my mind is changed, and I say to him, take this thing away. He'll love me in spite of me and hold on to me when I want to pull away. Paul said, look, have you started this thing in the spirit and tried to perfect it in the flesh? We're all guilty of trying to live for God in the flesh. He said, he therefore that ministers to you in the spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same children of Abraham. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. You are the children of Abraham by faith. You are not the children of Abraham by lineage. Therefore, you cannot claim the Palestinian covenant. God never promised us a homeland. You cannot claim the Davidic covenant because God never promised one of our line would go on to be the leader of Israel. You can only claim the new covenant. I will be in them and they will be in me. That is all we can claim. We cannot claim wherever you set the sole of your feet, I'm going to give it to you. He told that to Joshua under the Palestinian covenant because Joshua had very specific directions on where to go. So he says we are of Abraham, but we don't have the Abrahamic covenant because God never promised us a lineage like the stars of the sky. That's why we get let down so much, because we claim what's not ours. What we have that Abraham didn't have. I ain't even going to say nothing. Just forget about it. My father used to say when he got exasperated with my brother and I, just forget about it. Just forget it. Because the enemy has us focused on silly stuff instead of realizing, do you know that you and I have the right to go into the holiest of holies? We are no longer stopped by a curtain and sit at the feet of God and let him know what's on our heart. Listen to this, not by commandment, but by invitation. We're not coming in because we have a calendar event to fulfill. We are coming in because he said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy. Lord.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
How to Live the Abundant Life,
or the program number,
02119P.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Shoneham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
In times like these, you need the Bible. Bethel Institute for Biblical Studies will provide you with the best instruction that brings life to the earth. For your knowledge and your growth in the Word of God, register right now. You can call 215-885-2585, extension 315, or visit BethelDeliverance.org.